process into five main categories: physical review, legal, title, third-party reports, and accounting tax. Let's start with the first one on this list. Physical review. During the physical review, you and your team inspect the property to see if it falls in line with your business plan and your expectations. Let me expand a bit on this. As an example, let's say that you are planning to buy an apartment building and then do some slight renovations to the units that will allow you to increase the rents over the next couple of years. So, how does the process start? Before you make your offer to purchase the property, you will want to interview and select a property management company to help you prepare your operating and renovation budgets for the property. The key word here is before. This is not something you want to do after you make the offer. The results of this work will help you decide whether the property is worth making an offer at all. Tip: if you are going to be a professional real estate investor, have your team lined up before you make the offer. A successful and competent property management company can go over your operating and renovation budgets to make sure they are realistic and give you credible feedback on all the previous assumptions you may have made on the property. Assumptions such as operating expense savings, new income opportunities, and even cash flow projections. They can look at your business plan and give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down and help you adjust it so it is attainable and realistic. Remember, you will rely on a property management company to make your business plan work, so you had better make sure you are both on the same page from the beginning. The property management company will have its own sub-checklists for its own due diligence process. The people in the company will walk through every apartment and check the condition of the property in a multifamily project, for example, and bring in the sub-trades, such as roofing companies, landscape companies, etc., that can provide detailed reports on the condition of the property. In addition to spearheading the physical inspection, the property management company will also review all the rent rolls, the operating statements, and tenant profiles, all in an effort to gain an understanding of the true current operating income of the property. Usually, it will present you with a summary of the findings. Tip: the property management company is a critical member of your team. Find the best one you can and work closely with it. I cannot tell you how many times during my career that this work and the report that it generates has helped buyers make the right decision about a property. Let me give you an example from two perspectives. I was involved in a 20-unit apartment community that I was going to buy and convert to for-sale condominiums. When we did our walkthrough, my property management company brought along several contractors who were going to do the work on the project once I closed. To convert the apartments to condominiums, I planned to put about $20,000 of renovations, including adding a washer and dryer, into each unit. This was a non-negotiable expense since my market study indicated that other condo projects in the market all had washers and dryers. We needed to be competitive. After the inspection, the owner of the property management company called me and said that everything checked out and there were no real surprises except one. I asked, what would that be? He proceeded to tell me that his plumber and framer felt that because of the existing plumbing and stairwell configuration, putting in the washers and dryers would cost an additional $5,000 per unit. That added up to an additional $100,000. Ouch! Well, clearly, that unexpected expense was not in my budget. So I went back to the seller to renegotiate the terms of the deal. Specifically, I agreed to remove all contingencies after the completion of my due diligence, and in exchange, I requested that the seller reduce the price by $100,000. He agreed. Having an expert in the room saved me $100,000. For as valuable as the property management company was in finding a potentially deal-breaking hidden cost, a property manager can also add strong value by reviewing the rent roll and tenant profiles. Here's my story. I was financing an acquisition of a large apartment building in Scottsdale, Arizona, that had been grossly undermanaged. My client was going to buy the asset and renovate the units and gradually raise rents. He thought the quoted street rents for this property were below market for the submarket, and felt he could increase them once he renovated the exterior, improved the amenities, and did some minor interior work. What the property management company reported after reviewing the rent roll was both startling and exciting. They discovered that more than 25% of the existing tenants had not received a rental increase since they signed their original leases. Two tenants were actually paying the same rent they had paid when they moved into the property the day it opened 15 years prior. This news meant that the property's net operating income would indeed increase significantly simply by raising the old rents to the current market rates and once the additional rent kicked in based on the planned property improvements. The property management company earned its keep that day. Legal review. Hiring a lawyer that practices real estate law is a must. I am not advocating that you spend an incredible amount of money on legal fees, but with complex issues regarding title, contracts, entitlements, lender documents, and other items that you are certain to run into, you'd better have a good lawyer on your team. If you are an experienced real estate investor and you are buying a home or something without too many issues, maybe you can handle the transaction on your own. But regardless, the legal review phase is not the place to save money on professional fees. In my experience, if you have a good lawyer who is a deal maker, you should get him or her engaged on the issues he or she knows best. I have seen some problems arise when the lawyer becomes the negotiator for the transaction. Remember, you are the team leader, and all of the members should be reporting to you. That's when a lawyer, as well as all your other team members, can really add value. There are many examples of how lawyers have added value in the numerous transactions in which I have been involved. Let me share a favorite. I was financing both the debt and equity for a condo developer on a property in Portland, Oregon. My borrower hired a much respected lawyer in Portland to review all title and entitlement documents regarding the property. He discovered, during the title review, that one of the owners had recorded a document requiring his approval before a property could be converted to condominiums. Without this owner's approval, there was no way to get the state real estate approval to sell the units individually, and no way to deliver clear title to the buyers. My borrower could not close the transaction without having this provision removed from the title. The only solution was to go back to this previous owner and get that person to remove the provision. Guess what? The previous owner was willing to comply, but for a price. My buyer was paying $48 million for a property that he was going to convert to condominiums, and that he now discovered would not close until this provision was cleared up. In this case, our seller and the previous seller agreed to a settlement, and we closed the transaction at no additional cost to my buyer. Thankfully, my client's lawyer had reviewed the documents thoroughly and was on top of this issue. This is the purpose of legal due diligence, finding the problems before they become insurmountable and providing you with the knowledge you need to make a go, no-go decision based on the findings and the proposed solutions. Just think if my buyer had closed on the property and then found out that he could not convert the property at all. Or, worse yet, imagine the cost to remove the restriction post-closing. My buyer would have been at the complete mercy of the previous owner. Tip: I do recommend strongly that if you are getting into larger and more complex transactions that require new debt or joint venture equity, that you get legal representation at all times. I am primarily a commercial mortgage broker. I provide debt and equity for commercial real estate transactions around the country. I can tell you that loan documents and joint venture agreements are extremely complex, and you do need someone who can thoroughly understand them and explain them to you. Title review. Just as it's important to work with a lawyer you know and trust during the legal due diligence review, it's just as important to work with a title company you know and trust for this part of the process. In any deal I do, I try to control the title company choice in the purchase contract, if at all possible. I find it best to go with a larger firm that has the capacity to provide a satisfactory level of insurance coverage for all parties. Tip: using a title company that you know and one that is acceptable to your lenders and lawyer will save you a lot of time and effort. I also like to use title companies to search comparable sales, foreclosures, or other owners in a particular area to help give you a feel of what is going on in the vicinity around the property. This is important intelligence you'll need as you formulate your marketing plans and your forecasts for a particular property. Lawyers aren't the only ones who can save the day when it comes to due diligence. Let me give you an example of how a title company made me a quick profit on a house I was buying. The year was 1987, and the home was in Paradise Valley, Arizona. It was kind of a hidden jewel. I saw a sign on it one morning when I was jogging and decided to make a call. The house was small but sat on 2.5 acres, surrounded by 4 other houses on 5 acres. I knew homes with that kind of acreage were not common, so I thought there might be value in this property. When I got the broker on the line, he said his mother had passed away and they needed to sell the house quickly. They were asking $225,000, and would carry some amount for a quick close. I offered $185,000 that day, and they accepted my offer. That gave me 30 days to close and find the money. Working with the title company, I asked them to pull up all the sales in the surrounding area so I could see who my neighbors were and how much they paid for their properties. What I discovered was that about 5 of the 10 surrounding properties had changed hands in the last 12 months. Then I noticed something even more interesting about the sales. Each one was in a different name or entity, but they all had the same mailing address for the tax bills. Bingo! The light went on that someone had been assembling these larger properties. I went to the address on the tax rolls and found out the entity was a land development company in town. Furthermore, I read in the paper that this land development company had just signed the Ritz-Carlton and was going to announce a resort hotel development shortly. Thanks to the information from my title company, I now knew that I was just about to close on a piece of property that the land development company needed to complete the assemblage for their planned resort development. After I closed on the house, I set up a meeting with the development company and subsequently sold them the property for $375,000, a whopping $150,000 more than I paid for it. On top of that windfall, I negotiated free rent to live in the house for 1 year. Remember what wise old Ben said, diligence is the mother of good luck. Third-party reports review. This is another crucial part of the due diligence process. The third-party reports that I am talking about are primarily the environmental, property conditions, appraisal, and market study. You may or may not need them based on the type of property you are buying, but in most cases they are good to get and even may be required by your lender. Let's start at the top of the list. Environmental. I would highly recommend that you hire a company to provide you with an environmental study on the property. This report looks at soil composition, hazardous materials, and the like. Typically, you contract for a Phase 1 report, which is affordable, approximately in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. This report is well worth the expense if the company turns up something like toxicity in the soil or some other hazardous materials. Tip: the downside risk is way too large not to spend the money on a Phase 1 environmental report. Do one no matter what. If you are using a conventional financing source, your lender will require a Phase 1 report. They often have an approved list of vendors, so I recommend that you check with your lender before you hire a provider to do this work. If you do not have a lender yet, you should hire a national company that has affiliates in your region. Then ask them for a list of lenders they have done business with. Property Conditions Report. A Property Conditions Report does just as the name states. It will call out issues with the property's condition that the inspections reveal. This would include structural issues, roofs, asphalt, sewer, and other building systems. The report also will give you an estimated useful life for those items. This is very important when you are capitalizing your budget. Tip: the Property Conditions Report gives you a second opinion on the condition of the property, and can either affirm or dispute the inspection findings that you and your property management firm did earlier. Or it can find something you both have overlooked. That's important to know. When it comes to costs, property conditions reports can be all over the board, but this is no place to skimp. Not only do you want a firm that is experienced and knowledgeable, you want to hire a firm that has a national presence and is acceptable to your lender, if you know who that is. As I mentioned earlier, if you have not yet chosen a lender, your inspection company may be able to help with a recommendation. The other benefit of having a property conditions report is that it is a third-party report and completely unbiased, in contrast to the report compiled by your property management company. If you go back to the seller with your property management report, asking the seller to pay for something that is wrong with the property, he or she may feel that the report is biased in your favor. That's hard to do when you are also holding a third-party property condition report that reflects the exact same issue. This report gives you much more credibility and negotiating power. Appraisal. Depending on how sophisticated a real estate investor you are, you may not think you need an appraisal. My advice is almost always to get one. If you are financing your project, you will need one anyway. And why not be sure that the property is valued where you believe it to be? It validates your own assessments, or in some cases, refutes them. Either way, the knowledge is good to have. As the borrower, it can get a little dicey if you hire the appraiser. Federally chartered banks have guidelines that they must adhere to. One of those guidelines is that the borrower cannot order the appraisal. Most banks and non-bank lenders are more comfortable making the decision on whom to hire. What I do in those instances is let the mortgage broker hire the appraiser, or go to the lender with an appraiser in mind and let him hire that person. I generally want some say in the appraiser. The mistake I see the most is when appraisers are hired and they are inexperienced in the type of property the buyer is purchasing. I run into this quite a bit with banks. They just send out a bid sheet to three appraisers and hire one not necessarily based on his expertise, but on his time availability and price. A bad appraisal can bring the entire transaction to a standstill in a second. To avoid this, I always suggest having one or two appraisers that are good at what they do and qualified in your type of property that you can recommend to the bank. I also recommend that you take the time, or let your mortgage broker take the time, to share your vision of the property with the appraiser. If the appraiser does not see the value that you currently see or are going to create, you are toast. Finally, Be proactive with him and provide him with as much information as you can. Tip. Remember, an appraisal is an opinion of value. You may have and are entitled to have your own opinion, but you'd better be ready to back it up. Market study. Usually, the appraisal will contain a good discussion of the market for your type of property. However, if you are planning to do something a little more on the edge, or something that is complex like a condo conversion, hotel, golf course, or some kind of unique single-family project, for example, you may need an additional market study, not only for your own knowledge, but to help move your ideas forward with the people around you. There are companies, both regional and national, that can do market studies geared directly toward your kind of project, and just about any other kind of project, including ones I mentioned previously. Consider engaging them to do the report and show it to everyone who you think needs to see it. What I mean by that is show your market study to clarify and support your vision and to defend your position. Warning: these market reports can be expensive. It is common to see them run in the $10,000 to $30,000 range. But at times, they are worth their weight in gold. I have successfully used these types of reports to argue the assumptions used in an appraisal that came in low. Again, it is much easier to argue your points on absorption, price points, rents, etc., when you have a credible third-party report supporting you. Accounting and tax review. This is the last review on our list, and it is the one that can make you very happy at tax time. Having an excellent real estate and tax accountant on your side is critical. You are going to have to make decisions prior to closing the transaction and post-closing, and the advice you need can come only from people who make their living understanding and staying on top of complex tax code. Prior to closing, they can work with your lawyer to develop the best ownership structure for you and/or your partners. Is it an LLC, a corporation, and how should it be structured? It matters, because as you learned in the chapter on entity structures in this book, these decisions have tax implications. Post-closing, your tax accountant can file the K-1 forms, the form used to report each owner's share of income and certain expense items, and perform audits if necessary. Tip: if you do not have a good real estate and tax accountant, get one. One of the great benefits of being in the mortgage brokerage business is that I get to see amazing real estate projects and have the privilege of helping very creative entrepreneurs put those real estate projects together. I have learned much more from their good practices and bad decisions than I ever did in school or in my own real estate investment career. Real estate is a magical way to use leverage to your advantage and develop sustainable wealth. With that as a premise, it also requires you have a professional focus that not only sees the big picture or vision, but also forces you to pay attention to the details. All real estate involves taking risks. The difference between the professional investor and the amateur is that the real professional tries to manage this risk by surrounding himself or herself with an incredible team that adds value at every turn. Property due diligence is one of those turns, and it is too critical to just roll the dice.
Scott McPherson is a principal and co-founder of a highly specialized real estate finance company called Capital Advisory Group, LC. Established in 2001, the firm has successfully closed around $3.5 billion of structured debt and equity in the United States. Scott has financed everything from raw land to high-rise condominium towers, from Portland, Oregon to Tampa, Florida, and has successfully sourced and closed multiple projects in excess of $100 million in cost. For more information, visit www.capitaladvisorygroup.us.
11. Q. Kim Dalton. Creating Value from the Inside Out. I often refer to Kim Dalton as the chameleon. She is the interior designer my wife Kim and I hired to be a member of our design team, a team of professionals that included our architect, general contractor, landscape architect, and interior designer. I describe Kim Dalton as a chameleon because there were days I did not recognize her. She would show up at the job site completely transformed with a totally different look and a totally different energy. She would change as the nature of the project changed. She was that flexible, and design flexibility is essential for an interior designer. Today, when people walk into our home or our business offices, they often say ooh and aw because the impact of Kim's work is powerful, yet subtle. Kim's input to our projects is priceless. Not only does she increase the immediate sales value of our projects, her work gives our home and business environment warmth. Her work increases our desire to stay at home and also to be at work. As a professional real estate investor, I think there is nothing worse than a multi-million-dollar project that goes cheap on interior design. I have been in homes, condos, and commercial projects where the developer went cheap or went boring, leaving the interior design up to him or his wife. Rather than inspire a sale, cheap and tacky interior design can drive buyers away. You'd be surprised how inexpensive coats of paint in different or unique shades can make a $100,000 project look like a $1 million project. That is why Kim Dalton's professional design touch is essential to our success in real estate. Robert Kiyosaki.
Perhaps I'm biased, but I consider interior design to be an essential part of real estate investing. Whether you are planning a spec home, preparing an existing home for resale, rehabilitating a multifamily complex, or renovating a commercial property, appropriate interior design can always help to increase the value of a property. It can also dramatically shorten your sales cycle. Thoughtful interior design will carefully organize space while integrating color, light, pattern, and finish in order to supplement function, flow, and performance. Don't be confused. Interior design is not home staging, which was developed years ago to help homeowners sell residential properties. Staging specialists are trained to maximize the perception of space and light using principles that appeal to a broader audience of potential buyers rather than family, friends, and guests. Interior designers do all that, plus include the elements of aesthetics, temperature, sound, smell, balance, and harmony. All of these are value-added elements that will help your property sell quickly and easily. They are certainly worth your consideration as an investor, and could very well be the difference between selling a property and getting top dollar for a property. Assembling your team. Although you may see putting together a team of professionals for your real estate project as a costly and unnecessary expense, in reality, it can be the smartest investment you make beyond the investment in the property itself. Strongly consider any or all of the following professionals to help you make the most of your investment project. I am and have been very careful with my team selection. I started my business by aligning myself with a great architect, and that relationship has lasted for more than 20 years. I know that the way my team collaborates is instrumental in the outcome of any project I undertake. Your team should include an architect, interior designer, general contractor, landscape architect, engineers, and appropriate subcontractors. Your architect and general contractor will usually recommend engineers and subcontractors with whom they work, but it never hurts to have a few in your back pocket. How to select your team. 1. Interview. Ask the tough design questions, but also try to get to know the person to understand how he or she works. 2. Conversations with references. Ask about the outcome of the project, but also listen for clues about work habits and service philosophy. Always ask the question, would you hire this person again? 3. Site visits to similar projects. Visit and view the end result to assess if the final product lives up to the words. 4. Willingness. How willing is this person to work holistically to achieve a common goal, that is, a profitable product that sells quickly and easily? If a potential team member balks at the collaborative approach, it may be best to move on. Assemble your team right at the start, because early involvement will benefit both the process and the outcome. Delivering value is key, so the sooner the team is assembled, the sooner everyone can begin contributing. The earlier in the process those ideas surface, the more likely it will be that they can be implemented. Teams make great things happen. One day, several years ago, Robert Kiyosaki stopped by to visit me in my office. He wanted to discuss a new project he had for me. My excited staff gathered around to hear all about it. Robert humbly mentioned that while he was not a very knowledgeable man, highly debatable by many, he did consider himself to be excellent at assembling a team of experts in their respective fields. He considers that to be of utmost importance when embarking on a project of any type. He has come to call that team his trusted advisors, many of whom appear in this book. Real life story. Having a team you can count on really counts. We have a wonderful client who has several homes. Some time ago, we were awarded an elaborate remodel of their vacation home in Santa Fe. Because we were based in Scottsdale, Arizona, we thought it might be more cost-effective to hire a local contractor to handle the details for phase one of the project. We learned the value of a cohesive team the hard way. Although we made several trips to check on the project and oversee the construction, we hit a few roadblocks. The contractor had challenges he could not handle with the team he had assembled, and communication was difficult from the get-go. When we embarked upon phase two of the project, we decided to use our Arizona-based team to handle the project. Instantly, our communication improved, and we were able to solve problems much more quickly than before. Moreover, because our tradespeople had worked together so often in the past, they were able to effectively collaborate and avoid potential pitfalls even when they were on site without us. Now let's get to the people you'll want on your team. Team member number one, the architect. The right architect can be invaluable in providing not only a set of drawings for construction, but also insight into current trends in construction, engineering, lighting, and environmentally friendly design. I don't do anything today without an eye toward green, sustainable design. Depending on the size and scope of your project, you can look to an architect to help guide the planning, design, documentation, and construction administration of your project. The architect on any project is usually considered the team leader. Not only will he or she be able to provide a wealth of recommendations for other team members, the architect will also be instrumental in keeping the project on track, both from a budget standpoint as well as in terms of scheduling. Additionally, because of the nature of their work, architects must be up to the minute on current building codes and requirements. Building code violations can severely impede the construction process by the assessment of fines and a significant disruption in schedule. A good architect can also be an invaluable asset when applying for building permits. You'll want to select an architect who will assume the role of team leader while allowing his or her team to flourish under his guidance. Again, collaboration is the key here. While an architect is valuable for many parts of the project, he or she must rely on team members for their respective talents. Of course, basic chemistry is always a good barometer. Trust your intuition. Is this someone whom I could trust with my project? Remember, the whole idea of assembling a team is to allow you to achieve something you do not have the experience or expertise to accomplish yourself. When it comes to money, architectural fees vary with the project scope and needs. Most architects will prefer to work on a fixed fee basis with a defined scope of work, or on an hourly basis with a not-to-exceed fee limit. Team member number two, the interior designer. The right interior designer is the one who not only shares your vision but enhances it. He or she is the next necessary addition to your team. An interior designer differs from an architect in many ways. While an architect is concerned with the structure of your space, the interior designer helps you create spaces that work and that flow in a logical and functional way. Because an architect's role encompasses several aspects of the design and construction process, the interior designer can focus on realizing the overall vision of the project. Several years ago, I was hired to design a home on the coast of Oregon for a longtime client. Luckily, I was brought on early in the project to work with the client and the architect before they had completed the plans. We traveled to Oregon, walked the site, and talked for hours about what the house was to be. From those many discussions, we developed a set of rules for the house. This would allow both the architect and me to adhere to those rules and keep the design intent consistent. It becomes the designer's job to ensure the interior of the space will function as the team intends. Finishes, lighting, and furniture are all integral parts of a successful project. The interior designer can assist in any or all of these areas, as well as in accessorizing and art placement. The same rules for selecting an architect apply to selecting a designer. Fortunately, your architect can often recommend a designer or two from his own team who would be ideal for your project. That's how I began working with Robert and Kim. Several years ago, they bought a very tired but charming home with the intent of lovingly restoring and adding on to it to make it their own. They hired an architect who referred a general contractor. They also hired an interior designer referred by a friend to complete their team. While Kim and Robert are very easy to work with, the process did not go smoothly. A second designer was hired with similar results. She simply did not share the vision the team had. This is in no way a reflection on those designers or their capabilities. It is simply a reinforcement of the importance of the team as a whole. Nevertheless, the contractor arranged a meeting between the team and me, and the rest is history. The team certainly faced its challenges along the way, but we all shared the same vision, had a common goal, and were determined to produce the best project possible. Team member number three, the landscape architect. The landscape architect is in charge of site design, and this is the one person, more than any other, who will set the property's first impression. When you think landscape architect, think curb appeal. And if you've bought or sold a home, you know the importance of that. Look to a landscape architect for regional neighborhood context design, site planning and furnishings, and high-impact features with low maintenance. You want a design that enhances the overall quality of the building or development and mixes well with the environment. Here's what I mean. I recently completed a facelift for a 20-year-old office building. The owner wanted to sell and felt a fresh look to the building would speed up the process. Without a huge budget, we knew we had to rely on color and landscape to do the trick. We selected exterior paint colors to work with the existing natural stone and brought in a landscape architect to accentuate the building's best attributes. He suggested we clean up the entry by reducing the number of overgrown plants, replacing them with smaller, easily maintained varieties. This gave the building a cleaner aesthetic, as well as an enticement to potential buyers who were looking for less exterior maintenance. He also worked to accentuate the main entries of the building, leading tenants and visitors to the entrances with ease. Team member number 4, the general contractor. Very often, team members will recommend a general contractor with whom they have successfully collaborated. If not, please refer to your local state agencies to assist with the selection of a qualified contractor. When choosing a general contractor, I look for a company or a person with whom I would enjoy socializing. I know that sounds strange, but remember, this will be the team member you will see most often. Of course, this person must meet all the other criteria as well, but you really must have a good relationship with your contractor. After all, he will be responsible for spending your money. Whenever Robert and Kim embark on another project, we all look forward to the reunion of our team, knowing the general contractor will ensure we get the project done with minimal problems. Many investors opt to handle the oversight of a project on their own. While this can work well, it more often than not goes badly, particularly if the person is inexperienced. My advice to clients is to always consider the scope and complexity of the job before making that decision. Think about it. Do you have another career that will keep you away from the job site? What is your time worth compared to a contractor's fee? Are you familiar with the local building codes, construction methods, backup trades if necessary? Do you have strengths in scheduling, budgeting, and managing people? The value of an experienced contractor to manage the project and tradespeople is often a smart investment. On the other hand, if your remodel includes little more than paint and carpet, you may be fine managing the project. A brief consultation with an interior designer can help you select materials and provide recommendations for appropriate trades. Bear in mind, however, sometimes small projects lead to bigger ones. I've witnessed the discovery of problems that are bigger than any owner can handle. Eventually, the more you work with your team of experts, the more they will become your trusted advisors, and you'll consult them for projects big or small. The more longevity you have with your team members, and the more your rapport and working relationship with them grows, the better your outcomes will be. I found that projects become easier, move quicker, and deliver better results the longer I work with my team. Robert understands this, and that is one of the benefits of this book. His trusted advisors, his team, can now be your team through the pages of this book. As a real estate investor, you will want to maximize your return. And just as good property management plays a huge role in a property's value, so does the design of that property. But how do you know what design will bring in the bucks and what will just be another expense that lowers your bottom line return? Here are the guidelines I use for different types of real estate endeavors. Existing home strategies that sell. The trend of purchasing an existing home, remodeling, and selling it has made the need for staging unavoidable. Everyone wants to buy a home that looks like a builder's model. This concept was first developed by Barb Schwartz in 1972 and has grown over the years to become a widely used selling tool. It's all about merchandising the rooms to make them look like much more than just four walls. Tip: the goal of interior design for a residence is to personalize the space according to the tastes and preferences of the homeowner. Staging is the opposite. The professional stager's job is to depersonalize the space and allow potential buyers to imagine themselves living there. As I mentioned before, professional staging is often confused with interior design, and actually the two couldn't be more different. Let's talk about staging for a moment, because it is crucial to selling an existing home. When you decide to sell, agree that you will live there in a much different way. In fact, you'll want to get packing early because all the personal effects in your home must go. Precious collections, photos, mementos, all the things that are you will say to prospective buyers that this is your home, not theirs. So if you hire a stager or do it yourself, get serious and get rid of the clutter. It's all about vision. As an interior designer of both residential and commercial spaces for more than 20 years, the last thing I thought I needed when preparing to list my home for sale was a stager. My realtor tactfully suggested that I meet with her stager. "It can't hurt," she said. I grudgingly agreed. "I will warn you, this is a humbling experience. It's unsettling to have someone tell you that your collection of exquisite Chinese food dogs may be best placed in a box in the garage. My advice is to listen and obey." I had spent 7 years working to create a cozy space out of a large open-tract house. She told me I had succeeded. That, however, is not what the typical home buyer is looking for. Light, bright, and airy still seems to be the best rule of thumb when preparing to sell a home. Also, clean, uncluttered rooms provide the most appeal. In tough real estate markets, when nothing is selling, the staged house will 9 times out of 10 be the one that sells first. So, as much as you won't like them, here are the 5 C's of successful staging. 1. Clean. Everything should be immaculate. That means carpets, floors, walls, counters, and bathrooms should look model home perfect. 2. Clutter-free. Make counters, tables, and shelves ready for the buyer's favorite things, not yours. Remove everything, and then some more. 3. Color. You may have loved it wild and crazy to match your purple sofa, but buyers want to picture their own furniture and colors. Hot pink walls make that difficult. 4. Creativity. Give buyers something to talk about and remember. They'll be looking at a lot of homes that eventually all blend together. Make yours unforgettable. 5. Compromise. Stagers will tell you to do it all, and you may find you'll only go so far. No problem. Compromise and do those things that matter most. Did you know that most buyers make their buying decisions within the first 15 seconds of seeing a property? That's a prevailing rule in real estate that I believe to be absolutely true. What does that tell us? First impressions are everything. It's worth spending extra time and money on curb appeal or the wow factor of the house. Sell that house in 15 seconds or less. First impressions are everything, and buying decisions are made in the first 15 seconds. Here are the top 5 areas to spruce up. 1. The front yard, including lawn, trees, walkway. Clean, sweep, and plant flowers with lots of color. 2. The front door and entryway. Give your door some color, or at least remove the cobwebs, and then be sure the first few steps inside the home are memorable. 3. Exterior and interior paint. Nothing freshens a home more than new paint. 4. Flooring, including carpets, tile, etc. No stains, no worn carpet, no dirt allowed. 5. Healthy green plants. Emphasis on healthy, shiny plants without dead or dry leaves, dust, messy pots, or water stains. Placing plants and trees near windows will blur the gap between inside and out, thus making the space feel larger and more connected to nature. Staging will make your property look so good that, if it is your own home, you'll wonder why you lived in it the way you did for all those years. I advise everyone, particularly after my own experience, to hire a stager to help you weed out the clutter. It takes brutal honesty, and stagers are known for it. Stagers will rearrange furniture to maximize the appearance of space as well as downplay less desirable features. If you want to take things to the next level, and in tight markets you may have little choice, hire a professional stager and allow him or her to use their existing inventory of accoutrements to enhance your home. If you are selling a home that is unoccupied, don't listen to people who say an empty home sells better than one that is furnished. If that were true, no builder would ever furnish a model home, and most all of them do. Stage the home as best you can within your budget. If you can't rent furniture from a stager for the main rooms, set up small vignettes within the home. This can be as simple as adding a few wall hangings, live plants, towels in the master bath, and soft music. You'll be surprised at the results. The tangible aspects of a home are important, but there are intangibles as well that you must consider. Have you ever walked into a space and immediately felt uncomfortable, but had no idea why? That's energy flow, and all spaces have it. That discomfort usually comes from stale or bad energy in a space. There are consultants who specialize in clearing spaces of this negative energy. The ancient art of feng shui incorporates these principles and has done so for more than 3,000 years. Listed at the end of this chapter are websites that will help you understand energy flow and how to improve it in your home. Believe it or not, your own energy will either add to or detract from your home. A positive attitude will create better energy in the space. Instead of worrying about how long it will take you to sell the house, imagine how great those precious foo dogs will look in your new home. I know this all sounds like a lot of effort, but consider the statistics. Having homes properly staged significantly shortens the selling cycle as well as brings a higher selling price. There are lots of helpful resources to learn more about staging, such as homestagingresource.com and stagedhomes.com. Perhaps the best book on staging is by the creator of staging itself, Barb Schwartz. Her book, Home Staging, The Winning Way to Sell Your House for More Money, is the Bible on the subject. And she's right about staging paying dividends. Homestaging.com cites a recent home gain survey that shows home staging delivered as much as a 169% return on investment. That's a significant figure, making staging well worth the time and effort. Real life story. It's all about experience. Recently, my real estate agent, Joanne Calloway, related a staging success story to me. She had been trying for months to sell a seemingly marketable home. The only problem area was the dining room. It had one red wall to match the homeowner's linens. I was surprised that this was the problem area, as I often paint dining rooms red. Nevertheless, Joanne called upon the services of her favorite stager, who immediately had the wall painted, changed the linens, added cushions to the dining chairs, and the house sold in 1 week. Make your multifamily housing project a winner. Just as selling your own home is less about you and is all about the buyer, when investing in multifamily housing, it's all about the target resident. Ask yourself, who is that person, and what will he or she want or expect from this property? Then, how can you take those expectations one step further to truly wow them? Whether you develop the project from the ground up or are rehabilitating an existing property, spend your money on the things that will count in the eyes of the target resident. Of course, you'll want to contain your ambitions to a reasonable amount in proportion to the potential rent you can collect, but you will need to focus on those things that will leave a lasting impression. If a property isn't special in some way, it will not be easy to rent. Ask yourself, why would someone rent this property instead of the one down the street? Consider these factors when preparing a multifamily project. 1. Curb appeal. Clean up the trees, bushes, add a fresh coat of paint, dress up the windows with awnings or shutters, repair steps and walkways, resod the lawns, and plant flowers, lots of flowers. 2. Accessibility. Make sure you purchase properties with ample parking for residents and guests. Inadequate parking is next to impossible to change. The property should be ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act compliant. Or you may have to make it that way, which can be costly. 3. Location. This is real estate, after all, and location is everything. 4. Security and safety. Walls, security gates, security alarms, and security cameras all add up to making residents feel safer and can also justify higher rents for very little upfront investment. 5. Durable finishes. If you are rehabbing the property, use the best finishes you can afford and still maintain your profitability projections. Check your competition in the area. If they have tile counters, you may need to have tile counters. 6. Neutral finishes. This is so important in multifamily projects. Choose colors that work for everyone, which usually means light, light, light. 7. Common area aesthetic. Is there a pool? Is there a clubhouse? Is there a courtyard or garden? If so, it should look picturesque, clean, and be a true amenity, not an eyesore. Make it a point of difference. 8. Views. People buy views, and views can be big wow factors. Even if your project doesn't look out to Rocky Mountain majesty, be sure it doesn't look out on the dumpster or an unkempt parking lot. If you are building, plan for internal views to gardens or pool areas. Showing a rental property is no different than showing a home. Here we go again. Yes, you'll want to furnish a model if you can. Rental spaces are usually small and look even smaller without furniture. Once furniture is in place, however, spaces look bigger, and people can visualize living in them. They can see that the space isn't small after all. It is cozy, livable, and oftentimes just right. Senior living properties are another type of multi-unit housing. As the baby boomers age, the concept of the traditional nursing home is changing rapidly and drastically. Independent living facilities are being built all over the country, and there are new requirements for them, not all of which are coming from government regulations. I'm talking about buyers' requirements. This aging population demands a much higher level of design than the generation preceding it, and they are willing to pay accordingly. I am currently working with a developer on a number of senior living communities. Think 21st century. They in no way resemble the nursing homes of the past. These independent living communities are based on the desire for an active lifestyle with minimal constraints from the residents' pasts, that is, home maintenance, yards, housekeeping, etc. These communities focus on the active lifestyles of this population with the utmost attention placed on comfort, autonomy, and quality of life. Obviously, we are working to respect and deliver on the changing needs of this population as it ages, but research has proven that it can be done with good design and thoughtful planning. One project will be set on the side of a mountain, and the hilly terrain obviously presents potential obstacles for an aging population. The architects and landscape architects have worked on a site plan that will take advantage of the scenic views and the wonderful climate by means of a series of covered breezeways and no stairs. This is just one example of how we can maximize accessibility without calling attention to potential limitations. Commercial spaces that stand the test of time. As you venture into the world of commercial real estate, many of the principles we already talked about still apply. But first and foremost, you still need to take the target tenant into account first and create a fantastic first impression. After all, people want to be proud of where they work, and they want that space to be functional and comfortable. That charge isn't always easy, because commercial properties can often be quite large, quite complex, and rather impersonal. The key is creating personal, more intimate spaces inside or outside a large building to add that personal touch and provide respite from a busy day. It doesn't take much. a shady tree, a fountain, or a comfortable bench away from the hustle and bustle can achieve this important goal. Alcoves within a lobby space with nice art and comfortable furniture can work too, while they welcome visitors and provide a gathering place for tenants. If your project is new construction, get an architect and an interior designer on board right from the start.